Welcome to Travel Talk Today with your host and founder, fast start to slow travel expert, Sharon Ann Hamilton.
We have known each other for how many years now? 3-4 years, something.
Yeah. It's always better to tell me where I was so I can remember. I was in France, Costa Rica.
Oh, I think you were in Spain.
Spain.
It was sometime during COVID or right after COVID that we met, and you were in Spain and you had already launched your lifetime travels. But
probably 3 years.
Yeah. Just tell us, what prompted you to leave everything behind and get your husband to leave everything behind and launch yourself in a life of travel?
Yeah, well, I think it was my health, first of all. I was working in a cinema business. I was doing director of a big team because I'm a character creator. And my last movie was X-Men, just to tell you. So I was in charge of a big set and always mega hours. And my heart start having problem. I was close to, I think it's been 7 years since I left everything. So before 60, my doctor said to me, well, if you don't stop your life, your work, you're going to die. And I say, oh, okay, what am I going to do? And I was single at the time and I met, I was a writer also. So I launched my last book. It's all together. So I had a problem with my editor because he steal all my right.
Oh, he skipped you off and he stole your work?
And because when you go see an editor, usually is helping you to edit, and is the author get 10% of the book. You wrote books, so any... I was not a self-publisher. I was a publisher. But I was working with a publisher. So that's where I met my husband. He was in that business, so he helped me at that time. I was not looking for nobody, and he just lost his wife, so we were not looking for nobody. And we just met as friend and, you know, counselor and everything, and I left my job. I left everything. I didn't say yes to other job, but I was in nothing. And we decided together to sell, to... We have 2 big houses. I have a big loft in Montreal. I have like a big life. You know, we had all those things and we just decide. And it took about, let's say, 2 months to clear out everything. And at that time, just the year before, I met a lady in Florida, in Key West. And I really got attached to her. She was a nice person. She was an artist also. And she had the hurricane. The big hurricane in Key West in Florida. And we decide the first thing we think, say, let's pack the car and go help her. And that was the beginning of everything. And after that, adventure happened. And we have a whole bunch of adventures in all those years. But that was the beginning. But I guess I was ready and he was ready and I was not by myself, because I don't know if I would have done that by myself.
So what you're saying is you had diagnosis of quit this lifestyle that you are living or die. That's pretty much a good prompting to make radical changes. And you did.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can say, well, forget it. I don't think she's right. And I'm going to continue because I'm secure. I'm making money. I'm making all this. And I have a big lifestyle. And
Yeah.
But I pick myself. I pick my health. I decide to take care of myself.
Yes, it's great impetus for all of us. We are the machine that generates ideas and love and money and adventures. And if we don't take care of the machine, you know what happens? We can't do anything. And then we die and then it's done.
That's it. I can't change.
So you launched a life of travels. When we met, you and I, you were doing luxury house sitting on the coast of Spain somewhere. And you continued that throughout COVID. Actually, you were able to continue living that way. And I guess one of my surprises, and I think for our listeners is a big surprise, is how do you have a life of travel? How do you find clothing? How can you pack enough to please and to use every time you move somewhere, which you have moved a lot of times in the last 7-8 years, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't remember how many time I moved, but now we do have 4 suitcases. That's our living, and I work online. We are working online, so most of our stuff, informatic, computer, lightning, all those things for filming, because I do montage with customer, with video and all those things. But, and the rest is clothes and stuff I like. And how I do that? Well,
yeah, you know, we've talked about this before. I want you to explain exactly how you make your new location your home, because I mean, there is a saying that says your home is where your heart is, but a lot of people cannot let go of the house or wherever it is that they live and adopt that philosophy of your home is where your heart is. So tell us how you make where you are
your like a route. You have to make a little route every place you go. Start traveling. It was not the planning to do house sitting. And we met somebody in Key West, and because we were renting there, and we decided, well, when I met to that lady, I said, how do you do that? And she was full-time house sitter. She explained to me, and that night I decided to start going in an agency that does that. And at that time I didn't have too much stuff because we have a Mercedes and we packed the car and it was already too full.
Yes.
Already I left some stuff in Canada and I leave because it's, when you decide to leave and go and have less stuff and redo your house, it's just like one suitcase. It takes you about one suitcase with some stuff that you like. Some painting I show you. I have something like this thing. I have a little postcard, and that's what I bring in my suitcase. And that's what I redo in each place. And the best place I find to is the bathroom. The bathroom's got to be more you, because you're wake up, you're going to bed, and that's where you keep your stuff there. You keep whatever you need. You don't need more than that, because for real, you don't live in all the room.
You bring some special things that you carry with you all the time, the same thing. And those things turn your location into your home. And the best room in the house to make it your home with your preferred things is a bathroom.
Yeah, but this for me, that doesn't mean it's for you. It might be the kitchen. Something beside your bedroom.
Yeah.
Like a statue or a picture of something. Really, really small thing. And what I really find, and lately it's been even more noticeable because I've been moving a lot more and changing a lot, almost every month. And it was really hard because I'm 64 now. I really had problem. Before I didn't have that, I can really do myself. And I live in the thing, you live in place where people have all their stuff. It's not your stuff. I really have to make, and what I find, not to change nothing in different house where you are, is really, I come back always to the bathroom, because the bathroom is basically, you don't need a lot of stuff. You need a bottle of perfume, your shampoo. You have to see some stuff that you move with you, and you're okay.
Yeah.
Your root is back.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that. And I think probably for people who have a life of travel and also for people who go on shorter term vacations, or I like to call it slow travel, maybe you might go for 3 months or 6 months to a place, and having the same routine, having some things that are yours, I think it probably takes away this homesickness, longing for your own space, because the things you carry with you remind you of the lightness that you now have in your life.
And even when you have a big, big place with a lot of stuff, you have favorite stuff. You have always favorite stuff. Even I'm sure you do have favorite stuff that you just say, this is really my, it can be image, can be something really small, a candle, but you bring it with you in your suitcase. And you right away, that's what I do. To feel at home, all the place I go, I put it the day after, sometime as soon as possible. So more I do that fast, better I am and faster I'm adapting to this new place. It's really noticeable right now. The last 6 months, I really noticed. And I live in some place where was so much stuff because I have to be in different house because I'm doing a big change in my life also right now. But in certain house, one of the friend bedroom, but the friend bedroom, you know what it is in a lot of place.
Storage room.
Storage room. Yeah. And I was really hard for me to put my image, to put my little thing. And I was not feeling good.
Yeah.
The whole time I was there. I was not able to focus. I was not able to do my stuff, my regular stuff. I even had diarrhea because, and the connection, because it's your root and all is physical that gives you a physical illness also.
And now you're much more aware of it and you took steps to change that and not to put up with it. And that's the same thing when we do exchanges or we go house sitting across the world. We know that we don't have to put up with things. We can and change them. We can move. We can reorganize and we can make the space our own as much as we can or just leave the situation depending. If you've taken a commitment, that's different. You have to stay there. But if you were free to move, you were free to move or you were able to move, which is great. And you mentioned that you, well, before we get into what you're doing now, can you tell us a time in your travels, you and Mario, when something happened that seemed catastrophe that was able to turn into good?
Good question, because I didn't have too much. I can tell you my last experience with the house sitting and really, really hard for me because we're staying in a beautiful house, taking care of the pet also, because that basically. So we take care of the house, beautiful place, and they come back sometime, the people who live, because they have 4 houses around the world.
Okay.
They come back.
Oh,
and
nice.
This summer, they decide, to come back. And I was there already 6 months. And I told them, well, it's a guest house in the back. So I know you're going to probably leave in September. And so we can stay here in the summer. And whenever you leave, and we come back in the big house.
There was a guest house on the property and you offered that you would move from the main house and take the guest room or the guest house and the groups would have their own house. You offered that. And then what happened?
Well, the thing is, what I find out is personality that don't always match other personality. So when the people decide to come back to their house, they come back and they really push you away. And at that point, I didn't really know how to be not taking place. So I really got in the small guest room. But after 2 weeks, they were there. They decide they want to be by themselves. They want to have the family. The family is going to take the guest house and everything. But they didn't. So they came to us and they say in July, and that's the one of the biggest time in France to all over the world.
Yeah.
To find a place.
Yeah.
To rent a place to whatever. Yeah. If you didn't have a notice or prepare for that.
So at the last minute they came
and they say, well, we don't want you anymore because the family's coming. We need the place. You have 2 weeks to find a place and go.
Wow.
And that was very hard for me because I didn't expect that. I didn't prepare for that because it's mental preparation also. And I really felt like a lot of emotion. I don't gonna go to emotion, but we really saw the power of flexibility in a short time and how to adapt, how to put your stuff together. And I already made some people and I have new friend and I see the power of friendship and community. And that's what I find about this experience that I really went stronger. But I say, this is the last time. It's too hard for me. It was really, really hard to find a place to live.
Yes.
You cannot go back almost.
Yeah, that's right. You can't go backwards, and it can't, there's no home to go back to. You are your home. So the power of flexibility. So how do you make friends when you're traveling?
It's very easy for us because we go to the market and we talk to everybody. And a lot of time people talk to us. I don't know why. We are in the market because our accent, first of all,
accent.
It says Quebec.
Yes.
And people love Quebec people all over the world. So really friendly. We are friendly people. We adapt. It's not friend, but we make connection easy and we adapt easy and we're very happy people, no trouble people. And what can I say? And of course, we make selection of people that say they are our friend and not friend and whatever. But we know a lot of people. But we don't have, what can I say? I saw the power of a true friend lately. That's one thing for sure. Not too many, but, and now I know for a fact, and this is very unbelievable in that story, that the universe was preparing all this big change
for
what's happening right now, and which is a wonderful thing that what's happening now. Because if we had to stay there, what's happening in my life right now would never happen.
Hey, that's a good point that I'd like
that's to the power of
line. I think God does watch over us.
Of course.
Opens doors and closes doors and opens doors. And I think we don't know why and what is all this all about and what do you want us to do next? Please guide us. And it's amazing. Well, what happened to you?
I call it a story. Well, last summer, we came back to friends from Spain and we were in a really nice town that I really like. It's really looked like Quebec also. And we always go to the market. And I want to say a parenthesis. I say that a lot now, act of God, because I notice so much stuff that's act of God. And really, really unbelievable. When you say that, you notice that act of God is coming every week, every day almost.
I heard a saying not too long ago, there's 1,000 tiny miracles that happen every day around you. Notice them. And that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
So last summer, when we were in Spain, we met a couple, really nice couple, and they were doing, during COVID, they were in the clothing business and they were doing good, but clothing, and COVID didn't match. So they lost everything. And they decide to go in snail farming. And they start doing, they grow snail. Very, very cute couple, you know, about our age. And they make so much money because snail is a luxury thing. And people want to, I eat some snail all of more in France and all the Europe place. Egg,
America. I think most Americans cannot even imagine
it's not even Canada, but we connect with them and that was it and continue our life. And when we came to France and one day, and that's funny because he was not supposed to be there that day. We were not, because every Wednesday and Saturday we'd go to the market and that day was raining and this guy had a food truck and he was selling snail à la bourguignonne. He really have a personality. Can I say a personality? And we both have a coup de cœur. We really like this guy. It was really, really friendly. He had a YouTube and it say, I'm very popular in France. And we went to see all his video the week after we met him. And we say, oh my God, we want to do something with him. I don't know why, but not in that business. We are in the, because I do video, corporate video for people. I help people. We do business in other way. We're not in farming, snail, whatever. Not at all.
Oh, that's like 60 from your current life.
Yeah, I'm a snail. I don't eat snail. I don't like snail. Whatever. I didn't know snail. But we like the guy. We like the personality. Say we're going to build a school for you. Because you're a very good person to teach. And it's a missing right now in Europe for just growing the snail. And it's a missing, point, missing farm It's missing a whole bunch of stuff, Eliciculteur. And that took, last year in October, we met him in August. October, we signed with him. We partnered with him. And it's been 1 year. And he's the guy, when those people throw us out, that really came and said, come to my house. We were just partnering with him. We were working. He say, I have 3 kids, 1 on the way, and oh, wow. The uncle give us the room. And community came and we create something very strong because we were here. And we've been here 2 months, three yes. months almost.
Yes.
Because we were here, and I think I really say act of God, is we launch a new project right now. We're going to, the snails going to grow all year long in your house. You don't need a big park. And he just did a video yesterday.
Okay.
And it's like 100 people want to have this. So this is.
Wow. Very cool.
We are full time in that.
So wait a minute. Let's just go back a little bit, because I have been around the French culture for a really long time, but most of our listeners have not lived in the French culture. And some have visited and some have even tried escargot. But in the past, how do they cultivate escargot?
Well, escargot here is growing all over. It's going, basically, we are area in France where they're growing everywhere. So it's a guy in Bourgogne who decided to serve that in the king, like many, 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 you know, a long time ago.
Oh.
And it became really popular because he put that in garlic and parsley, garlic, and he made his recipe. That's why you call it.
And butter.
Bourbonnaise snail à la Bourgogne.
Uh-huh.
And where people, when they, that's what they eat here. They eat that, but a
so-
lot.
What does it taste like? I know our listeners want to know, what does it taste like?
I can, you know, clam.
Yes.
You know, clam or something. It's a little bit chewy, not like squid, a little bit softer than squid.
Okay.
But it's very, doesn't taste much, but that's where you put it with gravy, sauce, garlic, onion and whatever. It's just like seafood, but it's an animal. It's not a seafood. It's not a fish. It's
yeah.
the oldest animal in the world. And the one, if, and for real, I learned all that. If something happened, like we don't have no food
yeah.
and we have snail and let's say carrots and whatever, you have all the protein you need.
Yeah.
It's, so it's a very, very high protein. So for people who want to take care of their health.
So I've tasted it, of course, because I lived in the French world for a while. And my remembering of it was, first of all, the texture was not like a live snail looks. The texture was different. And when it is cooked, it's cleaned out. But what I heard is that they put the snails in and have them go through a barrel of flour. So the snail is clean when the flour is clean behind it. And then they cook it with, and I remember, parsley, garlic, and butter. And so the flavor was parsley, garlic, butter. And then who cares what it's on, because it's just a delivery system for parsley, garlic, and butter. So you can't go wrong with that. But now you and your partner have taken this a whole different direction. So tell us what happened with that.
Well, because it's much more than just the snail. It's just everything that go, because the cosmetic are using, they call it the slime, but they call it mucin. It's what they use to, you know, grow themselves and move around. It's,
uh-huh.
it's very, very, it's full of collagen and acid hyaluronic, because that's what make them grow.
Sorry, it's full yeah. of hyaluronic acid and what else?
Collagen.
Collagen. Okay.
Collagen. It's very, very good for the skin. So all the cosmetic are really looking for this liquid. And so it's very, very pricey. So we get this liquid for the snail with a gentle way. We have a new system. Plus the egg. The egg are caviar.
Oh.
The caviar of snail is really, really, rich people are looking for that. Like the next luxury thing in the world. And this is full of vitamin, full of everything, but is a luxury food. So it's very, very expensive it's just like caviar. So it's a lot of money to be making that. Not just, it's money and it's something good for the planet also, because this is grown by themselves. So you don't, use nothing like a cow, like all those animals that using a lot of creating a lot of pollution. And it's a new product in the world, and it's getting people who know about it. People who know about it, they want to grow it because that's the next big thing.
The next big thing. So this is wonderful. So you stand to do very well in this new business. And are you still working on and helping clients with their websites online? And do you help people?
Yeah.
One time you were working, pointing people in the direction of luxury house sitting. Are you doing those things, or are you primarily?
My husband's working a lot with my partner. I do all the visual part, the video, because editing and all those things. I study. And one thing I didn't say is when I left everything, I was in Florida. I went back to school with Anthony Robbins, and I learned how to do all those things. Now what I do, I coach people how to create a persona, like a lady or a man who are in a corporate or business video. They want to have a look. They want to project an image, because I was in that business. So that's what I do. I do coaching and your personal looking, how to look in the camera, how to film yourself, how to light the microphone and all those things. So, and how to brand yourself.
So and people stand out in their milieu, in their environment. So they are remarkable and memorable and attract more business, of course.
Yeah. And the video is a big thing right now, and people have problem filming themselves. They are shy. And so I'm coaching people. I have a company who's in Israel that I work with, and I have all the client with, they send me client so I can coach them. They have a company where they have teleprompter and all those things. They have a big app.
Yes.
Plus, yeah, I teach people how to do this lifestyle that I have. I have a website called World Luxury House Sitting.
Okay.
And I have my training is online in French and English. It's, you can have this class, this course to become, let's say, a house sitter or traveler. And one thing a lot of people ask me lately, it's really funny, I guess. I don't know. It's in this time, and probably I will start coaching that, is how to get rid of all my stuff. It's a process. And I have, it's funny, each place we go, people start doing their menage, clean up. But it's a really big process in a lot of people, emotional process. So yeah. I've been doing that to people around me to help them, you know, start first thing you have to do, the second thing you have to do. And they talk to me and say, well, I throw out 10 things. I give away 5 things this week. And this, I think, is a big need.
I agree with you. When I sold my big house in San Diego, I had to get rid of everything too, put everything that I wanted to keep in my car. And then I traveled and did a long road trip, actually. And what I did at that time, because it was so painful, is I started writing, and I journaled, and I turned it into a book. It's called Don't Downsize, Right Size. Because people think that because they are selling the big house and moving into a smaller house or none, they think that they're losing something. And so they downsize, mean it's kind of depressing, the term downsize. So I call it right size. Get the environment around you that is just right for the lifestyle you want to have right now. And it covers things, but it also covers your friendships, because some friendships are old and they have become toxic. So, and right size your emotions, right size your spiritual walk, right size your physical body. If you're not happy with the size you are, right size, and you can do it. It's mindset. That's what it really is, mindset. And we need this all over the world. So what would happen? I just have a fantasy of what would happen if all the people who were collecting all these things to put into their houses and then get bigger houses, they went the other way and gave all the things that they collected, gave them away. What would happen to the world? The people who don't have anything could then be gifted with clothes, shoes, hats, purses, kitchenwares, furniture, the things that we don't want and don't need anymore. It's a liberating feeling.
Yeah, because you know what happened when people have a lot of stuff? And this is really, it's a study. They create that, they make that. They wake up and they see all their stuff. And they see, oh, today, they get up, because when you get up, usually you have something, you say, I'm going to do that today. And they say, well, today I'm going to clean this. I'm going to take out this. I'm going to throw out this. I'm going to do it because it's really bothering me and solo step in all those places. And they go for a coffee. They sit down and they start doing something else. They don't do it. So it's giving them a back. They start their day already with something negative.
Yes.
If you don't have this stuff, it's really take a lot of courage to do that, because it's memory that's attached with those things. Memory of your child, your children, or whatever. I have this lady where I'm coaching now. She's a friend and I'm helping her empty. She lost her, one of their child, is suicide himself. So she have a room, a half of a room with all the stuff. He was a picture of him, a piece of clothes, piece of little thing. And it's hard to, for her, she want to remember. That's one thing, but she's going to have to clean up or keep one thing. Everything in everybody's house is always the same. And it's keeping you from the back. You cannot go in the future if you have all those big things around you. It's impossible. Very hard.
I heard something really brilliant not long ago. It says, you don't need the rear view mirror in the car because you're not going that way. You're going forward. You don't need to know what's behind.
And you know, each time, even when I move a lot, I change a lot. I give away. And you go to every place in the world. You have Facebook giveaway. You have here, we have Le Bon Coin. You go to Adonné. And you can give your stuff, because it's feel better if you give it away than throw it away.
Yes, of course.
Because that's one advice I can say to people if they want to start cleaning their stuff.
Yeah.
Go to Salvation Army. Go to a place that's where they take your stuff. Because when I start my first place, I really empty. That was before this one, because you have many steps. I went to a store close to my house. That's where they were selling you the clothing, furniture and all this. And I say, I'm going to give you all my stuff, but I want you to give it to family who need it. And you have to promise me. Come next week, get all my stuff, very luxury stuff. But you have to really, I know you have to make money with my stuff, but really, really make it a good price. And they say, yeah, we promise. And that was really easy for me to give my stuff away to them. Mm-hmm. Because I was sure it was going to a better place, somebody who needed it.
Yes.
And you liberate yourself because you say, I'm helping somebody with my stuff.
Yes.
So clothing. And you know, what I do when I travel, I give away stuff and I go to those thrift store and stuff. I bought one or two dress to encourage also those people who also give. And I'm always dressed like $1,000.
But yeah, of course.
It doesn't, you know, it's your personality that's went through.
Yes. Well, your clothing needs to make the frame for you, but you don't need every single thing that's available to pack it in your suitcase.
No.
Yeah. I think you have to have discernment. That's the quality of anything that you buy when you're traveling, that quality of discernment. You just carefully choose. And also, it can hold true for people who are not ready to travel. They're thinking about travel. So when you're thinking about travel, you don't need to go and buy a wardrobe full of clothes that's suitable for cruising or a fancy dress or travel garments. You just need to look through your closet and be discerning about what you put in your suitcase. And I will say this, we were able to travel for a full year with only a carry-on suitcase and a backpack. That's it. That's all we had.
Yeah, because you're the only one who see your clothes. Nobody saw Because when my friend would go to Italy, and she always bring two big suitcases of dress and all those things. So how can you do it? How can you travel with one suitcase and no other clothes? And say, nobody see my dress. If I wear it 3 times and I wash it and I rewear it, I wear it with another lower, another jewelry. So you bring one black dress, a sweater, some nice shoes. You need 10 stuff that you can mix and match, and you wash it if you're there 1 month. You wash it, nobody see you.
That's a really good point. I didn't think about that because we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, I wore that 2 days ago. But nobody out there will ever even notice it. So
no, and even not even your husband.
Especially not your husband.
Especially not your husband, because he doesn't care if you wear it. It's for us. We bring all those stuff. It's not for the other people. It's for us. And this is ego. You don't need just change the jewelry. You bring one nice dress. You have a shawl. You have maybe 5 or 6 shawl that's taking this space, and with some nice jewelry, and you change.
Yeah.
And that's you need sweater and t-shirt. I have a lot of black t-shirt, a lot of long sleeve, short sleeve with a nice belt. That's it.
So we were talking about earlier about making friends and the quality. I have an idea. What's the biggest qualities, or maybe 2 or 3 qualities, that help you make friends with total strangers?
That's a good question. With new people, I don't talk a lot. I listen to people. So let's say 1 hour, I meet them at the market. I meet them a couple times. I watch them, listen to them, I make them talk about themselves. And everybody say we never have people who listen to us. Even our best friend, they don't listen to us. I'm surprised to tell my story to a total stranger. But because I don't talk about myself. I let them talk. It's very, very fast. People say, well, come for lunch, come for dinner. But I really keep my distance. I never talk a lot. I give just enough. And this was a big work for me. Don't get attached to people.
Oh.
It's very hard to be friend, but not attached. Just enough.
Just enough. So what you're saying is sometimes, well, what I've noticed, if you become friends with another couple, they want to consume all of your time, all of your free time, and you have no time to really interact with other people. Is that what you're talking about?
Something like that. But you have to really keep in touch, but not too much. Do a WhatsApp, send them a picture of a new people. That's basically what I do. I see a nice flower, something that's got nothing to do with my life or their life, but a nice flower, a nice sun, a nice something. I send them a thought that I'm thinking about the new people I just met. And usually that's my point. I give, how are you? I just saw this really nice sunflower. Have a nice day. And they come back to me. Are you? And I really calculate it, who I give my time also, and why I share my stuff. Sometimes I want to get more attached, but now I have a lot of people I know because I think about them, and I let them talk about themselves.
That quality of listening is extremely rare. And for me, I think what drives me to have a conversation with a total stranger is I'm curious, and I can't satisfy my curiosity if I'm the one that's talking. And so I totally get what you're saying. You ask a question and then you listen. And also your point is really well taken. Almost none of us have someone who really deeply listens to us. Maybe not even our mother. I don't think. And adult kids who have that quality. It's a very unusual quality to find in anybody around you. But if you are that person for someone else, they feel like...
Important.
Important. Yeah, they feel like their life has been validated because somebody heard them.
Very interested. And this is a real interest about people life right now, but not in too long. When it's taking, let's say I'm meeting somebody in a market, 15 minutes, they get a story and they're really interested in the lifestyle we have. So a lot of people are attracted to that. I don't say a lot because people are really, I give you an example, because we always have that. People say, well, you're doing that. You don't have a house. You don't, blah, blah, blah. So they all make them work.
Yeah.
And this couple, we were on the beach. We're eating a hamburger and they come. The man come beside us and it's always happened, something like that. And he say, oh, you hear us speak French, but with the Quebec accent, say, well, you Quebecois, la, la, la. And they start talking to us and we start talking with him. And he say, we talk about the lifestyle we have. He talk about his lifestyle. And I love that. I want to do that. I really want to do that. How you do that? And they ask me, say, well, we can have a coffee later on, but, and the wife came and said, well, they're doing that. They're doing outsetting. They're traveling the world. They sold everything. Blah, blah, blah. And she really got mad because she didn't want to do that.
She was afraid.
She wants to do that. And even the night at night, he invite us for a beer and say, never going to call us because it's moving the couple. It's going to move the couple too much. Because he say, well, it's existing, this lifestyle. I want this lifestyle. He didn't know before, before he meet her. We are used to really different question.
Yeah.
Weird question. Yeah. Because
weird.
We have a different lifestyle at our age. People want to buy house at our age. I say, are you crazy?
Why?
Well, I just sold my big house. I want to buy another house.
Why?
Well, why? Why you want to buy a house?
That yeah. Is?
And they say, blah, 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 blah. It's okay. And when they talk to us and they say, and we have like, I can tell 10 people we talked lately, they were supposed to buy a house, but we didn't say, don't buy a house, but they just decide to rent and move and travel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it looks like our time together has been wonderful. I appreciate the stories and the things that you share. Danielle, and I will be sure to put your information in the show.
Yeah, people have questions about that. I like to give my 30-minute a call or something like advice. I don't, because I know it's hard for people to do this change, to start traveling, people who don't travel. Because I know in one of your questions was what you do when you want to start traveling. And that was a good question because I was thinking about that in today. And I say, go with your interest. I have one of my customer and she wants to start traveling. And I say, what is your interest? And go in a group. If you're by yourself, go in a group of travel and arrange travel with a group of women. Let's say you feel safe and you did the first step.
Yes.
And if you like to see architecture or you like restaurants, you like food, go with your interest. Don't go with golf if you don't like golf.
That's right.
Don't go with on a beach vacation if you don't like to be on the beach. If you like
very practical.
Very go with something you like. You like shopping, go to a shopping travel.
Yes. You know? There are a lot of women's groups or singles.
Yeah.
Or a couples groups even who travel. One time we were in England and we met someone who was a retired military officer and he and his wife took a group of military people to some ancient fortresses in North Africa. And they had the beautiful food along the way. And anyway, that's what they did. They just followed their interests. So that's really great. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love it. I always like to... You see, that's the way we became, we noticed each other because we got the same interest. We got the same wanted to help people and help women to
have
a better life.
So I'll end with this little story. But yesterday morning, I was dreaming, you know, how you dream at the last minute before you.
Oh, wake. Yeah.
It's one of those 10-second dreams. So I dreamed that I was with somebody else. It was a non-person, but anyway, we went to an Ethiopian restaurant and we sat down at the Ethiopian restaurant and I ordered some stuffed red peppers. And they served the other people at the table, and then eventually they brought my food. And I looked at it, and on the plate, it was a smallish plate, was a small pile of rice and a small pile of baby shrimp with some kind of a meat sauce, and a pile of escargot in the shell with some kind of a sauce on top. But they were still alive and moving. And I woke up saying, oh, I'm never going to eat again. Like, awful. So anyway, and your escargot story got me dreaming, but I know that we don't do that.
No, we don't do that. We don't.
So you have
it's a big process, very, very respectful about making when they grow and they are in the park to your plate. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about that.
So we have some, you have some beautiful videos that we will be attaching in the show notes. And
yeah, I have a YouTube. It's in French, but it's called alescargot.com and alescargot YouTube. And you can see a lot of knowledge about this.
Exciting. It's exciting. I wish you well.
Yeah. I'll let you know about the rest of the, we'll see.
Thank you for tuning in. To learn more about Fast Start to Slow Travel, visit www.traveltalk.today or email Sharon Ann for questions and updates on upcoming workshops.